So do you pray? Raise your hand if you pray. I hope all hands are going up. I read a poll that 96% of Americans say that they pray. Now, it might not be to the same God that we pray to, but people pray. It's in our DNA to talk to our Creator and have a communion with our Lord. And so we turn to God in prayer. If you don't know what to pray, there's so many easy places that you can go and find our prayer or an idea for prayer. If you Google prayer, you're going to find millions of ideas of prayers and what we can say and how we can say prayers. And for every occasion, every possible thing that's going through our life, somebody put a pen to paper and they wrote a prayer that might help us out. But truly, prayer is just something that should come from your heart, from where you're at in life, from what it is that you're finding yourself in, whether it's something of pain or something of joy. There's so many different things, that emotions that we have, and we offer these to God in prayer. So we can pray for pretty much every situation that we're going through. But so often we have these almost like microwave prayers to God. We want something really quick, and so we don't even fold our hands and close our eyes sometimes, but we quickly go to God and we have this on-demand thing that we want our answers right now, and we want God to take care of us and give us our needs immediately. It's like that Hot Now. Remember the restaurant in the 90s? Hot Now, I loved that restaurant. You know, we want it hot, we want it now, and that's the way that we pray to God so often in our lives. God, give it to me hot, give it to me now. We want it instantly. We're not willing to wait on God's perfect timing for the answer of our prayers. I'm hoping that today I can encourage you and teach you to move beyond these ATM prayers, where we put something in and we expect something out immediately, or vending machine prayers, however you want to phrase that. We put a little something in prayer and we expect something to immediately come exactly what we want. Prayer is far more than asking God for what you need or what you want. It's telling God that you're available. You're available to answer what God is putting in your heart in prayer. You're available to live the called life that God is putting into your life, knowing that you're to step forward in these acts. It's not God in your agenda. It's opening up your heart and your life to be changed in the ways that God is calling. I heard that Billy Graham was once asked in this interview a long time ago. The interviewer said, "You've preached on every continent. You've spoken and changed millions and millions of people's lives. You've counseled presidents. You've led countless rallies." The interviewer asked, "If you could do it over again, what would you do different?" So Billy Graham thought for a minute, and he said, "I would pray more." Because it's not mere conversation that we're having with God. It's not merely telling God what you need and what you want. It's a holy communion time with God. It's being with God in this moment and in the moments that God's leading you out after the prayer. How many of you have ever been in love? How many of you have been in love? You ever been so deeply in love that you just want to be with that person 24/7? Get out of my way, boy. Oh, she's blushing. Remember that feeling of love? Maybe you're in love right now. You can't help but be with that person in the moments. Every moment possible, you want to talk to them. You want to be with them. You want to be holding their hands. Have your arm around them. Just with one another. That's our opportunity with God in prayer. to be with God so deeply in the moment and have a holy communion time. You want to be with Him 24/7, so we turn our lives into prayer. Prayer is not this idea of checking things off of the checklist for the day. It's not just talking to God, but it's listening. Remember when you were in love in the beginning? You wanted to know more and more and more about the person. You couldn't get enough of who that person was. That's what prayer is with God. It's learning more and more about yourself through God's eyes and through the conversation that God's offering. It's giving God the big things and the little things. I think sometimes we fail to bring God the little things. We give Him the big problems in our life. When we're going for surgery, that's a big thing. We give that to God. But it's the little things that we turn over to God as well. It's offering God our joys and our pain, our fear and our happiness, our tears and our laughter. Paul tells us to pray continually. To me, that means never stopping, always being in that communion with God. It's committing your life to God in new, great ways every day, and it's being willing to listen. But all too often, if you're like me, it turns into this, well, God, if you give me this, then I will fill in the blank. You ever fall into those prayers? Negotiating with God. If you just answer this prayer, Lord, then I'll do anything you want. Prayer, the best part of prayer is listening to God. Because God is listening to you. One of the things that I know that I know that I know, when I do this, God is listening. And God's opening His heart so that He can open mine, that I might have a heart of God, that I might be willing to hear what God's putting into my heart and respond to that and be better. God's never going to tell you to do something in prayer that's going to make you worse. He's always going to build you up. Prayer is laying it all out to God and giving all things to God. Every sin, every mistake, every little thing, every big thing. I mean, that's what led Peter to say this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 5. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are attentive to their prayer. I love this. He says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. I mean, let that sink in a minute. God cares about you. He truly cares about you. So here's what Jesus taught in His most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, when you pray, I love that He says, when you pray. It's not if you're going to pray. Jesus would say, well, maybe someday you're going to want to talk to God. It's when. When you do this daily, when you do this several times a day, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. When you pray, I think Jesus assumes that because you can pray. And Jesus knows that if you can do this amazing thing, you're going to do it. Verse 6, but when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in the secret will reward you. See, prayer is not this public act. So oftentimes we get nervous when we're asked to pray. I remember before I became a pastor, Scott Otis helped me because John Wesley said that a preacher needs to be able to pray, preach, or die at a moment's notice. And so I was taught, if it's one of those three things that I got to do, jump up and pray every time. You don't want the die part right now. But so Scott, every time we were in a public setting, asked me to pray. And he just laughed and said, well, when you're a pastor, they're always going to ask you, so get used to it. Prayer is not a public act. It's you and it's God. You might do it in public at times, but just close your eyes. Know that this is a conversation that's just for you and for God. Don't worry about people around you. Don't worry that you're not articulate enough or you don't have those words that are this long and you can't pronounce them or type them or anything. God doesn't care about that stuff. God cares that it's your heart connecting with His. Jesus is saying that there's a real tendency in prayer that we're going to go out there and we're going to try and impress others. Don't fall into that trap, but when you pray, just concentrate on God. He says, do it for you and God purely. Not worried about other things, not worried about these other ideas. He says, go into your room. Y'all have a private place in your house, right? Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe it's the living room. Maybe it's a sun porch where you can see God's glory and the creation around you. What's your favorite place? How many of you have seen that movie War Room? You seen the lady in the movie turned a closet, a walk-in closet, into her prayer room. It was just her and God in this little place. And it was a connection thing. It was this private thing that she could go and she could just pour out her life knowing that it was God there. And it didn't matter what she was saying. Didn't matter how she was articulating. Didn't matter that nobody could saw her because God saw her. And that's all that mattered. So go to the silent place where you have no distractions. There's no things coming on. Don't do it in front of the Tiger game. I know y'all with the Tigers. You're not going to concentrate on God when the Tigers are winning, and you're not going to concentrate when they're losing because so many of you are on the verge of breaking your TV by throwing the remote at it. Take away your distractions. Go to that private place for just you and God and pray. You really don't even need to do this. You don't need to get on your knees. God doesn't care what position you're in. God cares where your heart is at in connection with His. In verses 7 and 8, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans or the pastors. Whoops. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. God doesn't have a word meter. God doesn't answer your prayers after the 10,000th word, after the big word. God doesn't care about that. Jesus is saying, don't keep on babbling. How many of you are babblers? How many of you don't even know what a babbler is? You ever wake up in the morning and you're singing a song and you don't know how it got into your head, but you can't stop singing it? Earworm, it's an earworm. Or maybe you're not listening to the radio and you get one of those earworms and you just, all day long, you're babbling by singing this and you feel like a fool. Because we sing with our mouths sometimes. Don't be like this, Jesus is saying. Repetition isn't needed. You've got God's attention. When you quiet your life, you've got His attention, so you don't need to keep on babbling. Husbands, if you're not getting this, you'll get this analogy, I hope. When your wife came at you with a new outfit and she said, how do I look? What'd you say? You look good, dear. We're late. Let's go. You said, you look nice. I like it. Good color. Your eyes are sparkling. You said something very short, very quick. You moved on. That's all we got to do in prayer to God. Just something quick, something nice. Jesus is saying the pagans, they're babbling on and on. Don't be like them. They were infamous for these long, notoriously repetitive prayers to whatever God they were praying to. Jesus is saying, you don't need to do that. God already knows what your heart needs. We're going to look at, real quickly, at the blueprint for prayer that Jesus gave us in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. This is where I think the church kind of fails us at times. We did it earlier. the Lord's Prayer. This is what we have to pray. Jesus said, you say these words. He doesn't say that. He says, pray like this. Not pray this, but pray like this. And you're going to notice that it's very different from the Lord's Prayer that we say every Sunday. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. God, your name is holy. Your creation is holy. God, you are good. God, you are great. You are the one and only God. Just uphold his name in prayer, and you can do it so many different ways. Bring your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it is done in heaven. God, you have an amazing kingdom that's to come. We want that here on earth. We want your glory to be seen on earth. God, we want your love to conquer all on earth. We're asking, I mean, do you mean it when you say that in the Lord's Prayer? I mean, do you really mean it that you want goodness here on earth? That's what you're asking God for. That it be done here as it is in heaven. In verse 11, give us the bread we need today. I think that's probably the biggest stumbler for me. I start praying for what I need tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Jesus is saying, just ask for what you need for right now. And I think part of that is because he knows that if you just get what you need right now and God's going to give you what you need, you're going to go to God in prayer again. And it's going to be this thing that you just keep building upon, and your prayers are going to get deeper. So God, just take care of what I need right now. Give me my needs. And sometimes we fall into what we want more than what we need. But God, you know my needs. Take care of these needs. Verse 12, forgive us for the ways that we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. Any of you trip over that one? Jesus just said, you've already forgiven the people that have wronged you. So now you can ask God for forgiveness. I know that sometimes I'm so worried about being forgiven of the sins of my life that I forget to forgive others of their sins first. Jesus is saying your heart's got to be opened in this. It's a two-way street. Forgive others because God is going to forgive you. Your sins have been forgiven on that cross. Now what are you doing for the rest of God's creation? Are you forgiving those who have wronged you? Or are you holding on so tightly to those sins that you're not able to move past it? See, forgiveness is not just for them. It's for you as well. It releases you from the bondage of holding on to something that was hurtful, something that is holding you back, so that God can forgive you. In verse 13, and don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. There's so much temptation in the world, isn't there? We fall into that temptation so often, and we need God's rescuing. We need God to save us from ourselves, from the world, because Satan's out there. And the temptation is so strong at times that we get sucked into it. So Jesus is telling, just ask God. Lead us away from that temptation. And part of that is now you have to be quiet and listen so that you follow God's direction instead of the world's temptation or Satan's temptation. See, effective prayer is not a business transaction. Effective prayer is an intimate relationship with God. It's so intimate that it's the only type of relationship you can have with God is something that's so open and so loving and so close. So when we draw near to God in prayer, we do it with just Him. Don't worry about the outside world. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Don't do it to impress others. Just draw near and have this effective prayer. that opens your heart and allows God in. So why do you need to pray? Because it's about spending time with God. It's about spending such quality time with God that you can hear His heartbeat in rhythm with yours. That you can feel His presence in with every step that you take. I think when I get into the most effective prayer is when I have to get to that point of saying amen because life's going on and I need to catch up to it. And I don't want to say amen. I want to keep this conversation going. I want to keep this communion with God, this closeness with God. I'm only a heartbeat away. And I want to stay that close. So why do you need to pray? Because God wants you to draw near to Him. God wants you to allow Him to answer your prayers, fill the holes of your life, give you the strength to go through life, give you the wisdom to take that next step and know that you can accomplish great things because you're living the life that He's calling you to live. It's getting your master's. It's graduating from high school in the 4-year allotted time. Why do you need to pray? Because you are made for God. And God made this relationship possible with you in a deep prayer so that He might speak to you and draw you closer to His heart so that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do you need to pray? Because communicating in your life with God, you'll begin to find true life, true love, true peace, true joy, true happiness. You'll not allow the fears to control you or the pains to bring you down. You'll find an eternal love that only the Lord can offer. You see, the power of prayer is not in the one who prays, but in the one who hears your prayer. Will you pray with me now? Holy Lord, your glorious riches not only lie in heaven, but they lie here on earth in your creation. Your name is above all names. You are so holy that we draw near to you, offering our love to you. We ask you to be seen around the world, that others might see you as the true living God, that we might be doing the actions that are seen in heaven right here on earth, so that others might offer you the glory and thanksgiving. God of glory, God of might, we all have needs. We all fail, we all fall short. Lord, we offer ourselves that you might take care of these needs. Give us the food that we need for the strength of tomorrow. Give us the peace that we need that we might offer our love to you. Give us the joy that we need so that others might see you as the true living God through our expressions and our acts. Forgive us of our sins. Lord, you know that we've all committed great sin. Lord, you know that we've all committed small mistakes. Forgive us of these that we might spend eternity at your side. Lord, help us to forgive those that have wronged us. Help us to not allow hate, fear, pain, sorrow control us, but be set free from that through offering our forgiveness to others. Lord, take us away from the temptations of the world, that we might choose to live the calling that you're putting in our hearts. Keep us safe as Satan reaches out to grab hold of our lives. And help us to reject him as we turn to you. Lord, help us to excitedly anticipate your kingdom that's to come. Help us to know that our sins are forgiven and there's been a room prepared for us as we have faith. Faith in you being the one true God, the one who offered your only Son as a living sacrifice, who died and overcame death and sits at your right hand, the one who offers your Holy Spirit in our lives today as a guide, as strength, as love. God, you are an amazing God. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.